everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and I'm drinking something yummy and delicious. I forget what it is. It's a Saranac Oktoberfest. To my left is...
Danielle Cormier. I am the social media community manager here at Constant Contact, and I am drinking a pumpkin UFO.
I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I'm drinking a Diet Coke this week because I've been sick.
I'm Ryan Pinkham. I'm a content developer here at Constant Contact, and I'm drinking a personal favorite, Harpoon IPA.
Yum. And we've got a special guest with us.
Thank you.
We've got with us Peter Hughes, the Senior Manager of Search Marketing here at Constant Contact. Welcome, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here because today we're going to be discussing some changes with Google SEO, in particular secure search and the new Hummingbird. It sounds like Heidelberg. What was that thing from?
Heisenberg.
There we go. Yeah, wrong thing.
Sounds more
Hummingbird, which is updates to the search algorithm. So, once again, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So we've got two things. We've got secure search. Peter, why don't you tell us what is that? And what does that mean exactly? What does that impact?
You got it. So secure search is really nothing new to the search community. It is, over the last few weeks, though, an extension of something that Google did, rolled out in 2010, started rolling out in 2010, which is encrypting all natural search. So that's the net of this. Historically, a certain percentage of searches have been affected by this encrypted natural search. So that's to say that of those searches for users, let's say, logged into their Google accounts, you as the website owner weren't getting keyword information in your analytics package. So Google Analytics or Omniture, whatever the analytics package might have been, you weren't getting, for those users logged in, searches encrypted, the keyword information that drove that search. So that was rolled out in 2010, a little bit under the radar, frankly. But in 2011, Google sought to push more of its search to be secure, essentially. And then latterly, the last few weeks, there's been an announcement from within search engine land. Danny Sullivan announced that he had confirmation from Google that it was going to basically default the vast majority, if not all, of its search eventually to be secure. So from that, read that in short space of time, we'll no longer have natural search keyword information for our natural search queries.
So, all right. So what does that mean exactly then? Like, what type of impact does that mean then?
Well, think about it. You know, you no longer know what keywords are driving natural search visits. And think about it. That's free traffic, right? Mm-hmm. You no longer know which keywords are driving traffic to your website from natural search within Google. And I stress Google. Bing, Yahoo, other search engines, unaffected by this. They don't default to secure search. Mm-hmm. But the impact really is you no longer have the opportunity, frankly, through data to optimize pages at the keyword level. Okay. So you can pick out themes, you can understand what questions your customers are asking. But you no longer know through data alone mm-hmm. what keywords are driving volume to your site. It's a big change.
Interesting. Yeah. So why this change? Like, what's the impact there?
Why the change? It's unknown to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. The search community, as gossipy as it is, has theorized, frankly, that a large reason for this is Google trying to make its search platform, more secure. So unconfirmed as it is, there'd been thoughts, suggestions that under the old format, people who wrote code could essentially tie an individual search query to a user, because they were logged into the account. So mm-hmm. Google's prominent and very clear that you can't do that, that breaks its privacy policies. So the goal of this basically is to remove the temptation to do that, remove the capacity to do that, to make the search secure for the user. And frankly, mm-hmm. this is in large part a user experience play, a security play for the user. You know, as I say, the impact is now that over the course of time, we'll see less and less keyword information within analytics packages. Mm-hmm. And so optimization from a search standpoint has to move away from simple, what keyword drives the search? How can I get more volume from that keyword?
Mm-hmm. So it sounds, and I'll open up to you guys too if you have any questions, but it sounds to me that it eliminates that idea of like, oh, I'm trying to optimize just for this particular thing, right? It's the idea of... if you're creating content for people more than for the keyword, you're kind of in a good spot, yeah. Right?
You're not just changing the order of the words or from maybe Facebook marketing to Facebook's business marketing.
Right.
And you're just going to be creating more helpful content that answers the question.
And it seems like they want to make people a little work harder, you know, do more to figure this stuff out. So don't just rely on that data. But I mean, you still have the data of the traffic to your blog, right? So you're still seeing the posts that are getting a lot of traffic.
Right.
So that's still valuable stuff. But also it's just listening to your customers and understanding the problems that they have.
Yeah.
So if you're blogging and you're doing a lot of helpful how-tos or list posts, things like that, really paying attention to the questions that you're hearing, if you're in your store, if you have one, or if you're a B2B and work with clients, listening to that sort of stuff, because that that's stuff people are searching for. If search is one of the ways that they're looking for that information,
you got it. And that's the thing, right? So I've said before, actually, a few times that SEO over the course of time has been too easy to game, right? It's been too easy to manufacture. So it was initially all about the links. So people go out and buy links. So they stuff their site with links from less reputable sources. And then it became a question, all right, let's focus more on the keyword because that's what's really going to drive it.
Yeah.
It's too easy to manufacture results on that level.
Right.
So whilst this, you know, again, keep in mind, this isn't designed to circumvent gaming it by any means, although I think that's a net result of it. The ultimate end of this now is that we as kind of website owners, as SEOs, need to think about how we drive traffic to our site on a page level and on a content level, not just at a keyword level, because frankly, that's too fine a detail, too granular to really make a difference now. So.
Yeah.
I think this also ties into why social signals are getting even more important, because if people are sharing and clicking through and commenting on content socially, then it's more of an authority than if they're just stuffing links.
Precisely. Yep.
I think it also kind of drives you to make more content, to create more content, because the more you write about that, the more you're associated with those keywords and you're the thought leader and the expert.
Exactly. And then, you know, linking it to the authorship piece that we've spoken about on this before, that the idea is you as an author, as an individual and verified author, build up a kind of a library of content about specific topics or a topic, frankly. You suddenly develop themes around content. That content isn't specifically related to a keyword, but as to synonyms of keywords. And people, the search behavior has changed so much over the course of the last, frankly, the last 2 or 3 years, but certainly over the course of the last 5 years, that the keyword, yes, is what drives the search, but algorithms are smart enough, and we'll talk about Hummingbird in just a second, but algorithms are smart enough now to understand semantic search. Algorithms are smart enough now to understand synonyms.
Yeah.
So it's no longer simply about the static keyword, and it never should have been. And I reaffirm that. And this is not just me kind of speaking from my pulpit, like after the event. I truly believe that it's been too easy to game this system, and I see this, frankly, as a leveler for creators of good, shareable, engaging content. And I think that's the key thing. You know, the more content you can produce that's good, engaging, and shareable and is shared, the better it is, the more likely you are to be found for essentially what you're selling or the services you're providing.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you mentioned, Hummingbird, I think this is a great seg into that because they're kind of, you know, tied together, right? As just a different portion of that particular search thing. But Danielle, why don't you tell us a little bit about Hummingbird and what that means?
Okay, so Hummingbird was the recent algorithm update, and it's really, I think, based on the fact that people are searching in a different way. Like you said, people are searching on their phones and using their voice with Siri, Google Glass. The future is going to be more wearable technology that allows you to search. So Google wants to be ready for that, and they want to be able to answer the questions so they can understand. So with this update, Google understands a string of words rather than just the words individually and understands the intent and the context behind what you're looking for compared to just a standalone word.
So it sounds like what it's really boiling down to, it's becoming a lot more natural and frankly, less about the robot that's kind of scanning your site and more about just people in general.
Yep, would we agree? That's 100%.
Yeah, I thought the example, Daniel, you gave was, you know, someone searching for an apple. Now they'll be able to tell you if you're looking for apple products or mm-hmm. for if you're in the context of if you're looking for a fruit or something like that, or if you're looking for an address rather than a URL address, those sort of things. And those small distinctions are going to be important for people, I think.
You know, that's a big word that I think you hear a lot now is the idea of context, right? And really thinking about the situations people are in when they're doing and making searches or where they're going to come across certain information. And I think really this helps kind of account for that a lot more than just a keyword.
It absolutely does. And I think that, you know, this new algorithm, and it's the first, frankly, quote-unquote new algorithm that Google has come up with for a long, long time. A lot of the other references to updates are simply updates to existing algorithms. So Panda, Penguin are updates. This is a brand new algorithm. So this is massive in the context of search. But the context of search now, you can take by device a lot of the time, right? So if I'm on my phone, the search intent is often locally based or action-oriented in a way that perhaps it isn't as frequently on a desktop or a laptop, even a tablet. So you're right, the context is key in this instance. Mm-hmm. And I think meeting that with content, meeting that with a search result, let's say, from Google is important to keep people using Google, frankly, right?
Has anybody done or used the Google app to do Google voice search on their phone or anything?
I do a lot. I use Google now all the time. Now. I think it's the best thing ever.
It's fabulous. I mean, it's really quick. It's really fast. It's exceptional. And it really does, like, it gets what you're saying.
Sometimes it creeps me out how much Google now. It'll be like, you like staying at this location. Do you want to add?
A lot of this really sort of tied. I mean, when we look at a lot of times you see people doing like with the keywords and things like that, really trying to optimize for the keywords, and you're getting this traffic, but a lot of times people weren't coming there to look for the information that they're finding when they get there.
So you
took these steps to get people there. Your blog traffic might be going through the roof, but they're not staying there. They didn't want that information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know in our blog there was an image that drove a bunch of traffic one time because it said Friends, and that was the image. And amongst all these searches for people searching for, it was all the TV show Friends, but it was driving so many people to our blog, and it was a blog post about email marketing. Now people, that's not qualified traffic.
Are just not the only thing you should look at. It should really be time on site, the bounce rate, how many more pages people are visiting after they come to your site. Mm-hmm. Those things are getting more and more important than the traffic.
Exactly. Well, and I think, again, context within this. So we talk about good content, quote unquote. It's really a question of engaging, shareable content. We touched upon that earlier. You know, you can you can measure engagement. You can measure shareability. You can't really measure good, right?
Yeah.
So how about we step away from kind of keyword optimization? How about we step away from talking about good content and let's talk about engaging, shareable content? Mm-hmm. Because those are things we can measure. Those are things we can affect change on. Mm-hmm. And those are precisely the things that Hummingbird is seeking to affect change on directly and indirectly or tangentially. Certainly, secure search will help foster over the course of time because suddenly you can no longer optimize so dramatically and so poignantly at the keyword level.
So it sounds like, you know, to like just hearing about the changes and things, it might like kind of freak you out at first, right? Think, oh, great, they're making this change and something's happening and now I've got to kind of figure out or assess what I'm doing again. But I think, you know, to kind of temper any of this change, right? It sounds like the algorithms are trying to work better at focusing on how people are using tools or doing things, right? So it sounds like to me anyway, if you just start with people and you focus on your customers and you answer their questions and do those things, you actually don't have to worry about what happens with the algorithm so much because they're working to do better with what you're trying to do. And if you're doing those right things, then it kind of takes care of itself.
It's like we keep seeing this over and over again with all these changes, whether it's on Facebook with their algorithms or if it's like the Gmail we're talking about tabs.
Yeah.
They're making you do more quality work to get what you want to do. And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because like we've said with any of this stuff, when you have the relationship and you understand your customers, again, like you were just saying, it doesn't matter. And I feel like everything is going to continue to move in that way.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting on board soon, then eventually you're going to have to.
Yeah. I think it also makes people, you know, understand the need for feedback. You know, if you don't let people comment on your Facebook page or your blog, you know, you don't know the questions they're asking. And the questions they're asking and the things they're talking about already on social media, they're also entering that into Google and doing searches for those things.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be bad for small businesses either, because location is going to come into play a little bit more too with Hummingbird, because they want to give you the answers to your questions. And if you're, they know where you are, if Google knows where you are, it will give you that local results.
You know, thinking about this, I feel like, again, we're saying it's becoming less about keywords and more about, you know, obviously the content and the questions that you're answering. But from one standpoint where you're saying people are searching for local, I mean, the important things, this actually brings to mind listings, right? And we've talked about that a lot. But like, that's where you really want to make sure that you have your information correct and things are the right way, because you want people to be able to find you based on a location. And if you don't have that stuff right, then, or you're not in the places where people are looking, that's where it's really going to affect you. And less about the kind of other things people could find you for. It's more about those in the moment location-based searches.
You got it. That's 100% right. And that's ultimately Hummingbird in a nutshell to some degree, to a large degree, frankly.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
we're talking about, we're talking a lot about like content and what you need to like to improve your content, those sort of things. But what about for small businesses who just like have a website right now? They haven't made that jump into blogging and are doing that.
That's a great question.
Are there things that they can do on their website right now, or that are directly impacted by this, or that maybe they should have been doing before to do those sort of things?
So I think it's a great question. So not to be contrarian about it, but if you're not blogging, you should be, right? I think it's the first and foremost. I think that's almost a kind of a non-option right now. You have to blog, because that represents the kind of freshest content you're going to put out there. That represents thought leadership. From the standpoint of the website in and of itself as it stands, I think looking at it holistically and seeing right now which pages are driving traffic, let's say on a standard site beyond the blog, looking at it, understanding, can you take cues from a keyword standpoint there? So what keywords have driven traffic, especially if you haven't sought to optimize for these keywords, what keywords have driven traffic, and moreover, which pages have driven traffic? So you can start to optimize the content and the context on those pages, perhaps. Take a, take the perspective that these pages are driving traffic anyway, so they may be answering questions that your consumers and your customers have. How can you build off those themes? Because those are the kinds of questions that people need answering, I think, is a starting point.
I think that people get intimidated by the idea of starting a blog, but so many people write such long newsletters. Why not take that content, put it on a blog post, and then give your customers a shorter, more condensed newsletter that links back to your blog or your website?
Well, I think something to think about there too, at least for, you mentioned kind of building off those themes and looking at the posts that are driving a lot of traffic for your website. And I think that's why, a lot of times with the team, we really always talk a lot about being very singular focused, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about a topic and then really dissecting a piece of that. Because that allows you to create content around a single theme, around a single topic, that all together makes like kind of the larger story, but opens you up to being, one, creating more fresh content on a regular basis, being more focused in what you're telling about. It actually makes it easier to write. It actually makes you actually look even more like the expert, because you're actually taking things, putting them under a microscope and really dissecting them for people, and really proving your worth and your value there. Mm-hmm.
And it's really tied to what like Peter was saying. So if you're just starting with a blog, for example, so look at those pages on your site that are doing well and are driving people there. Again, maybe there's already some content there that are answering questions. So maybe that's your first series of blog posts when you're starting out.
Yep.
Taking some of the content that's there and developing some stuff around it. Doesn't have to be long, drawn out blog posts. Could just be 100, 300 words, just answering some of those questions.
It's probably the simple questions too that you don't think of as the business owner, as the expert. It's the little things.
You can even start with your frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. Great place to start. Don't get to that part of your website.
You know what's funny is I think just it's human nature to look for, okay, what's the trick? What can I do to really make this? And like
that's been SEO over the course of time.
Exactly,
frankly.
Right? And that's why so many people get like freaked out about it, is because, oh, I just when I feel like I've gamed the system, they go and they change it. And I guess that's the point, right? Don't try to game the system.
Precisely.
And there's no trick. It's just doing things consistently over time. And then, you know what? Don't overcomplicate it. It is the simple questions. It's the simple things. It's just, if somebody wants to know what time it is and you keep telling them what you're having for dinner, well, they're not going to pay attention to you. Just tell me what time it is. That's what I want to know, It's really that simple. So don't overcomplicate it. Just focus on, you get the questions all the time. Trust it. It will work. Use that stuff.
Yeah. And I think, the other thing is when it comes to this, this kind of, you know, this update to Secure Search, let's say, let's not panic in any way, shape, or form, right? So
unless you're at the disco.
Well, there is that too. I think everybody
that
just got it.
Yeah,
oh, it was good.
The disco.
You know, there's a strong temptation to panic. I mean, the keyword is my world, right? I work in a, you know, paid search environment and a natural search environment. That has been my world. So suddenly when you remove a big portion of that, it's hamstringing me, to frankly, right? So now I have to think of another way to, I have to rethink my optimization strategy, let's say. Yeah. Okay, so we're in a fortunate position at Constant Contact from the content we create is not optimized singularly down to the keyword level. That's not true of a lot of larger companies. You know, they have kind of SEO agencies, let's say, mm-hmm. all of whom are very, very obsessed with this notion of kind of keyword optimization. So this notion of not panicking, it's a fresh start, frankly. It's a big leveler for, mm-hmm. You know, for smaller businesses, let's say. Keyword data is still available, I think, is the key piece as well. Through, let's say, Google Webmaster Tools, Bing, Yahoo, as I say, is the keyword data is available there. But don't try to lean too heavily on that keyword data, because then it almost defeats the object of looking to create content that's keyword agnostic almost.
I was going to say, I don't think it's about, you know, starting over either. If you've been creating content, if you've been talking to people on social, you already have an idea of what people mm-hmm. like already.
Precisely.
So just keep doing that.
Yeah, keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anything else to add? I think we can probably wrap this up. But, you know, again.
Actually, I'll add, if you don't have a Google Plus profile for your business setup.
Yes. You know, what we'll do is in this, when we put this post up, we'll actually include some links in there. Peter has a post coming up that goes a little bit more in depth into Secure Search. We have some information about the Hummingbird update, and we also have things that can help you set up your authorship and those types of things as well. So if you're really looking into getting this, we'll have some great resources to kind of get you started. So the big thing is, I think, just focus on your people. Start there. And then these kind of things that people do panic about when they don't really need to actually kind of take care of themselves, and you'll be in a good position. So, Peter, thanks again so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
To have your expertise here. And we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.